news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Discussion, just search the Rexplex on Facebook. You can email us questions, complaints, concerns, championship titles, camel clutches, caterpillars, catastrophic events, and cactuses. That's the email. You can email us at therexplex@gmail.com. And you can listen to this program on rantemradio.com every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to all of the other kick-ass, ass-kicking, awesome shows on this network, including the flagship, The Rant, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with AA and Tony C, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. with Phil Rea and Dave Megapowers on Wednesday. On Thursdays, this show at 7, and following this program at 9 is Rant and Wrestling. On Saturdays, on Saturdays, the Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. I jumped the gun. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5 p.m. There's also pre- and post-shows for every pay-per-view. How is everybody doing? I am very lonely. I don't think I'm going to have a co-host for this show. I'm just going to talk about everything that's going on, whatever the big news is. If it's short and simple, then it's short and simple. I don't really have anybody to bounce ideas off of. I'm just going to pretty much tell you what's been going on, and I hope you enjoy it. Let's start it off with the biggest story of all. I just got this sent to me, and I'm going to read this article. It's Katy Perry is performing at the Grammys. Will there be a new Taylor Swift diss? Exciting news. After killing at the Super Bowl halftime show, Katy Perry just announced she will be taking her talent to the Grammy stage in another epic performance. Will she take another... I didn't hear any diss against Taylor Swift, and I watched the halftime show. I wasn't really paying much attention to the game. Hope everyone enjoyed the Super Bowl. Had a good weekend. The commercials sucked. I did a long video ranting about how disappointed I was with where the commercials have gone from where they used to be. But, yeah, it was what it was. It was the Super Bowl. It was, they told a good story. I wonder whoever wrote that game. They need to get that guy to start writing for WWE Creative, because he had a, it's all about the finish. My buddy Luke likes to say, it's all about the finish. And we can all rejoice now. Heath Slater is back. He lost to Luke Harper in a dark match last night. Two nights ago, actually, after the taping of a main event and SmackDown. And now in some weird news, they are planning on rebranding Kalisto for his debut in WWE as a gay hairdresser. According to Reddit user MetsFanForever, a verified WWE insider, the reason why the Lucha Dragons dropped the NXT tag team titles is because WWE wants to try pushing Kalisto as a singles wrestler. Now, if you follow the indies, you know Kalisto is an amazing, amazing singles wrestler. If you see just some of a little bit of the Lucha Dragons work, you can see how awesome Kalisto is. He was formerly known as Samurai Del Sol, and he was one of my favorites. He was, of course, a great indie standout, one of my favorites. But now it looks like there's a change of plans with Rey Mysterio on his way out. The company's trying very hard to find the next Latin star, and Kalisto is reportedly being tested out for the role. While Mysterio wrestled with the mask, WWE reportedly decided not to go that route with Kalisto and instead have him try out a gay hairstylist gimmick. Kalisto reportedly did very well in the role, and it's possible we could see him continue the gimmick on TV as opposed to his current Kalisto character. I hope this is fake. I hope this is on a kayfabe news level. You know what I mean? Just like they said the whole Mighty Mouse thing, you know, about Adrian Neville, they said he's going to have a Mighty Mouse type character. And that seemed to die down. I don't hear anyone talking about that anymore. And I hope this is just one of those things that came up and there is no gay hairstylist gimmick. Nothing against gay hairstylists. If that's what you do, that's fantastic, wonderful. Be a gay hairstylist. But if you're a luchador, and this doesn't make sense. If you're an incredible wrestler, a lot of the comments on this were like, Kalisto can never do things that Rey Mysterio did. Kalisto has already done things that Rey Mysterio never could have done in his prime. So they are Kalisto currently, or if you give him a few more years, will be and can be just as good as Rey Mysterio Jr. in his prime. But that's the word going around right now, is that Kalisto's character will be a gay hairstylist when he makes his main roster debut. I hope not. That's all I could say about that. Also, another thing a lot of people have been talking about is the cryptic videos, eerie videos from Bray Wyatt, apparently aimed at The Undertaker. People are asking me, how do I feel about that? Everybody wanted to see Sting against Undertaker. I, from the start, said no, that is a horrible idea. You do not want to see. I mean, 10 years ago, yes, that would have been perfect. The time for that match has passed, and I'm sorry for anyone who wants to see that happen. It's not going to happen. Pretty much what Bray Wyatt is saying is so all these cryptic things, pretty much referring to the dead man. But the thing is, do we want to remember Undertaker going out the way he did against Brock Lesnar, looking that way, old, disheveled, a mess? Do we want to see him like that again against Bray Wyatt? And have the thought in our mind that maybe it was just that one night. Maybe it was just Brock. Or do we want the possibility of that being confirmed in another match, especially against a younger person, definitely not as powerful and as intense as Lesnar? There's a certain level of fantasy. This is the same reason why people didn't want the streak to be broken in the first place. It could ruin and tarnish The Undertaker's legacy. Or we're going to have a great match and a great story and a somewhat of a passing of the torch type thing with this match. If it happens, still up in the air. I really wanted to talk to Rage about a few of these other things I had down here. I guess I'll move on really quick to some indie news. Wildcat Pro Wrestling will return to New Orleans on March 20th. We're going to have more on that to come in the following weeks, as we will have Wildcat champion Shane Taylor on the Rexplex, and Brett Landry, the voice of Wildcat, will join us to discuss what this event will entail. On Saturday, February 21st, WSU and CZW will present WSU Anniversary and CZW 16, two anniversary shows from both promotions. This will take place at the 2300 Arena in Philly, formerly known as the ECW Arena. WSU is offering up such matches. And also keep in mind, WSU is an all-female promotion. Their event will be taking place during the day, as the CZW event will be taking place during the night. We will see Mickey Knuckles against Solo Darling, Cherry Bomb against Leva Bates, Hania versus Athena in a TLC match, which should be awesome. I'm a huge Athena fan. And they will be also offering three championship matches, including Nevaeh versus Nia Varela for the WSU Spirit Championship. The tag titles will be up for grabs, as Juicy Product, Who are two males, JT Dunn and David Starr, taking on chicks using nasty tactics? And for the WSU World Championship, champion LaFisto defends against Shayna. Over on the CZW side of things, we have two best of the best tournament qualifying matches. The first being Pepper Parks taking on Bucks Belmar. And the second qualifying match is former CZW champion Sozio taking on the impressive Joey Janela. In six-man tag team action, we will see Team Tremendous teaming with Officer Dick Justice to take on the Beaver Boys and Rex Lawless Silver. Rex Lawless normally went by just Rex Lawless, but maybe there's a relation to John Silver that I'm unaware of. I will look that up in a second. In an ultra-violent rules match, we will see Matt Tremont taking on the big beast himself, Stockade. They should have signed Stockade instead of Bull Dempsey. That's all I'll say. Look up Stockade if you don't believe me. In a tag team dream match for the CZW tag team titles, a feud I said should have happened about 2 years ago. I told the champions, OI4K, Dave, and J. Chris, I told them in person that is a feud that needed to happen. Well, the feud will not, I don't know if a feud will happen out of this, but you'll get the match for the CZW tag team titles, the champs OI4K, Dave Crist and Jake Crist, taking on Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson, two amazing brother tag teams. This is the match that I'm looking forward to. This is going to be a sick-ass match. And in your main event for the CZW Championship, Black G's defends against Dirty Daddy Chris Dickinson. There's no CZW wired match thus far on the card, and apparently they are going to add another ultra-violent match if that is your cup of tea. I know it's not most people's. It's not necessarily mine either. It's more of a little attraction that CZW has kept in. They've come a long way and changed a lot since the blood and guts that most people know CZW for. And I kind of feel bad for them. They're stuck with that stigma, and they have so much great talent on their roster. But they did it to themselves. If you brand yourselves as a blood and guts company, that stigma will stick with you for a long-ass time. And apparently it's stuck with them for 14 years. Now I am going to do something that I never do. I have only done once. This is Rex's TNA Impact Review. TNA opens with a video package of the Beatdown Clan beating down on Lashley. The Beatdown Clan consists of MVP, Kenny King, Low Key, Samoa Joe, and not Eric Young. He's cool with them or something, though. He hangs out with the guys. MVP says, "If you want the title, see me on the street." And then show MVP and Lashley and people fighting in the street. Open to a very dark arena. The commentators are Josh Matthews and Taz. Bobby Roode makes his way to the ring holding the title that Taz tells us, that's not his belt. They do a cut screen that shows where Taz and Josh Matthews are broadcasting from, and apparently it's Josh Matthews' mom's basement. There's a small TV and an action figure on the desk. This looks like shit. This looks horrible. If you're trying to improve your product, and there's part wood paneling, two old action figures, it looks like you're in a closet. This is bad. This is a whole... Be in the arena. Show them in the arena. There's so many steps that could have been taken to prevent this. Roode says he is not the champion, but has dedicated his entire life to the championship. And trust me, I remember hearing about two-year-old Bobby Roode wanting that TNA non-existent championship. It is his entire life. More sarcasm. I'm in a great mood today. If you haven't been able to tell yet, he said it was stolen from him by his best friend, Eric Young. Roode then calls out Lashley. Lashley made his way to the ring, and Taz called the belt that... This is what Taz referred to the championship. That's that belt, that leather, that strap, that gold, that big, beautiful, shiny object. Roode says he respects Lashley. I'm already sighing at the possibility of another Rude Lashley match. Rude says he will give the title back, but he wants a rematch tonight. Lashley says if you want a rematch, you got him. You got him. The rematch, you got him. Rude said, why wait? Let's get a ref out here and fight right now. Cue Austin Aries' music. Aries talks about how he changes everything and can change this little situation right here because he has the briefcase and can cash in any time for a title shot. Austin wagers his options. MVP's music hits, and Josh says, here is the man that some people may call a criminal. And I agree. I think the people who may call him a criminal were the people on the cruise ship that he robbed, and the police, and probably the person who put him in jail for all those years. I'm pretty sure all of those people refer to MVP as a criminal. MVP gets on the microphone and says, we got Dumb, Dumber, and Dumbest coming to theaters soon. I'm not sure if Jim Carrey has signed on for this one. MVP calls Lashley Roberto. Lashley tells Aries, save your briefcase. I'll fight all three of you for the title. So it looks like that's our main event for the evening. It'll be a four-way for the title. Lashley, Aries, Rude, and MVP. Also announced for later tonight is Hardy, Jeff Hardy, that is taking on Abyss in a Monsters Ball match. I started to look forward to this for a second, but I realized this wasn't the cage match next week with the fake. I mean, a horrible fall, but I feel horrible for saying that. That's not what I meant. The worked injury, the shoot injury. Don't hate on me. They show us a promo for Lethal Lockdown, which will air tomorrow night. If you're listening to us on Thursday. Angle is shown backstage talking about how he will assemble a great team, and we will have to wait and see who he picks, which made no sense to me, because right before this, they showed a promo that showed everyone who would be in that match. So there's no real cliffhangers throughout this entire show, because they already canceled it within the first few minutes. The first match, Madison Rayne versus Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell in a who was Taryn Terrell the champion for the Knockouts title. Of course you have to have a title match. And of course you have to have heel turns on every episode of Impact. That's their thing. That's their whole agenda now. Before the match, they show Will Ferrell hitting Taryn Terrell with a football or a basketball or something. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays into the storyline. Taz tried to make some... She takes balls in the face kind of joke or something like that. She's used to that, but what? You're insulting your champion. I just really want to see how Will Ferrell plays into the storyline or if this is a one-off because this can make for things to be a lot more interesting. Apparently, Josh Matthews has never heard of this guy, this comic guy, so he called him Will Ferrell. Taryn Terrell wins and retains the title with an Ace Crusher-style move. I enjoyed this because this was actually good women's wrestling, despite we want puppies chant. Magnus is walking down the street being interviewed while walking to the bar to meet Bram. Back in the building, Tommy Dreamer arrives. Return for commercial. Spud is in New York City trying to be funny with the winner of British Boot Camp 2, Mandrews. Who won British Boot Camp 2? A guy named Mandrews. He is Rockstar Spud Part 2, and they are best friends already. Spud is trying to be funny while he points out buildings in New York, calling them national landmarks, while being incorrect about each and every single one that he points to. Back inside the arena, Tommy Dreamer is making his way to the ring. Dreamer gets on the mic and calls out Eric Young. EY makes his way to the ring. Dreamer talks about how many good times him and Eric have had together. He tells Eric he is making a huge mistake. He says he saw Eric Young come up as a joke and then turn that person into a champion. Is that the exact wording? Dreamer says, you shouldn't burn bridges, Eric. Eric gets on the mic and says, Dreamer, you're a fat loser from this dump. He then says he doesn't want to burn a bridge, he wants to blow it up. Dreamer says, this is all over you not getting that title shot, Eric. This is all about you not getting the title shot from Rude. And Dreamer says, did you even ask him? The crowd starts a no chant. EY kicks Dreamer in the stomach and gives him a pile driver. Rude, of course, runs out to make the save and chase Eric Young, who throws a random person onto the floor while escaping. The Hardys are outside by a fence. They talk about winning the tag titles next week. Jeff says he's going to be in a ball later tonight. And he's been in a lot of a ball. There's a lot of times he's been to a ball, a big ball. If he was trying to make an innuendo, this flopped horribly. Because if he had a big ball, most people have two testicles. So if you have a big ball, the problem here is you have a problem. If you have one giant ball, possibly a hernia, and you should see a doctor, Jeff Hardy. He says he's bringing friends with him to the ball. His list of friends are Kendo, Cookie, Barbie Bat, and another can. Jeff Hardy has done so many drugs now that his best friends are all animate objects. Cut to Magnus arriving at the bar. He takes a seat next to Bram and says, I'll take one of these, while pointing to an empty bottle. This bartender is doing a horrible job because he had 6 empty bottles on the bar. You're supposed to pick those up or your boss is going to get pissed, dude. And this is the weirdest looking bar. It's half log cabin, half, I don't know. Turn from commercial, Kurt Angle is playing with his nose in what looks like a cheap hotel room. Gunner's in the room. Kurt asks him, when is he going to wake up? Gunner says, I'm not asleep, I'm not. And then Kurt smacks Gunner. Boom, Gunner gets up and he's going to be on Kurt's team next week. Back at the bar, this is the best part of the whole show. This is so painful. Back at the bar, Bram is upset about not getting a Feast or Fired briefcase. Magnus says it's okay because he's got the tag briefcase and he wants Bram for his partner. Magnus says Bram's problem is his temper. Bram calms down a bit and said Magnus is right. Magnus shows Bram a picture of his kid. Am I the only one who wished they would have actually showed the picture and it just would have been some weird deformed little... They say they're cool with each other and they're going to go get some Thai food around the corner. Magnus starts to walk into the men's bathroom when Bram tells him, no, don't go that way. This way is faster and points in the opposite direction. So was Magnus trying to exit the bar through the bathroom? He didn't go through the bathroom exit, which apparently this weird bar had, this log cabin of a bar. Magnus walks through a series of rooms to find himself trapped before he is attacked by Bram. What? They just became cool. Bram has apparently been obsessed with the cue balls, so he has been fondling this ball the whole time throughout this entire segment. And spoiler, without me even knowing if it is true or not, because I say so, someone is going to turn every week. Bram hits Magnus in the back of the head with a cue ball, because That's what you do. You turn on when you're in TNA, right? Bram screams, look at you now, and breathes heavy. Back in Josh Matthews' mom's basement, Josh and Taz are talking about what does it take to make a man do what Bram just did. My question is, what does it take for a wrestling promotion to go 50 minutes into a show and only have one match? I'm completely befuddled and bored. And then Taz catches my attention when he says, hey, look, the Monsters Ball match is starting. They cut to Hardy and Abyss in a hallway, bouncing each other's heads off a wall. Ding, ding, Hardy and Abyss, Monsters Ball. From here, they fight from the crowd. Weapons immediately come into play. Taz says, this is a staple of Abyss. Pardon the pun. I don't want any puns. I don't want any more staples in wrestling. I know this is all my fault because I started talking about staple matches ever since my first episode of the Rexplex. And ever since I did that, they've been using every promotion except the WWE. I don't want to see a staple gun in my house. I want paper clips. I want paper clips and safety pins. I don't want any more staples. Back to the match. Hardy brings out a table early. Hardy misses a chair, sets a dive to the outside, and goes through a table. They replay this four times. Abyss grabs Janice, brings in the spike board named after Dixie Carter's mother. They do the mandatory swing move. Janice gets stuck in the buckle pad spot. Hardy capitalizes, hits the twist of fate, climbs to the top for the swanton when his leg is grabbed by Matic and the Revolution hit the ring. Matt Hardy runs out to try to make the save, but they are still outnumbered, and he takes a last call super kick. Then the Wolves run in. They hit the alarm clock on Manic. The ring is cleared. There's dives all over the place. While still in the ring, Abyss dumps out a bag of tacks. And, of course, you know who's going into the tacks. Abyss places Jeff on the rope to suplex him into the tacks. Hardy reverses into a sunset flip powerbomb on the tacks, followed up by the swanton for the 1-2-3. I was pretty much done with the show at this point. But at least there wasn't that much more. There was a lot of backstage talking with people and a lot of recaps and replays. Match 3, we get Mandrews and Rockstar Spud. They come out. They're supposed to wrestle EC3 and Tyrus. But EC3 is in a suit and says, I don't need to wrestle tonight. The Bromans will do my dirty work. So we get Mandrews and Rockstar Spud taking on the Bromans. I will say, Robbie E looked actually pretty impressive in this match. Mandrews is alright for the little bit I saw. The match came to an end when Spud hit a running turnbuckle-assisted cutter, followed by a shooting star press from Mandrews. Following the match, Tyrus gets in the ring and gives lethal lifting Mongolian thumbs to both Mandrews and Spud. EC3 then hits the ring. EC3 says next week Mandrews and Spud will take on Tyrus in a handicap match in a cage. In the back, Mandrews is upset and a Rockstar Spud consoles him. And then we go to our main event, where it is for the TNA, the Impact, whatever, championship. Austin Aries taking on MVP, taking on Bobby Roode, taking on Bobby Lashley, who is the champion. Decent match. Lashley retains with a spear. Beatdown Clan hits the ring. They decide who will be on the team for next week's Lethal Lockdown. That was Impact. And my reaction to Impact this week, or that week, is this. At least the pain is over. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more of the Rexplex. Stick around, folks. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at therexplex@gmail.com. Tweet us at therexplex. Or join the Facebook group page at www.facebook.com/TheRexplex. Welcome back. This is the Rexplex. That was a quick little break we took there. Now I'm going to get into some more things. Something I read this morning that made me really happy. And I am normally never happy about a person getting arrested unless they've done something horrible. Is that Suge Knight is finally in jail where he belongs. Now, why do I have such beef with Suge Knight? Well, if you've ever heard of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls, they're two deceased rap legends. Well, the reason that led to their deaths was a horrible West Coast-East Coast rivalry. The man who thought the West Coast-East Coast rivalry would be a good idea for promoting his record label was none other than Suge Knight. Suge Knight has been getting out of court cases by intimidating witnesses for over 10 years now. Suge Knight hung Vanilla Ice off of a balcony for the rights to Ice Ice Baby. This is a horrible person, a horrible man, and he deserves to be locked up. What he did while leaving a movie set, he said he was going to kill someone at the movie set. He ran over two of the people who he got into a confrontation with, killing one and injuring the other, and he is now in jail for what might be a very, very long time. And I say good riddance to one of the worst people in the history of the hip-hop rap business, Suge Knight. He deserves to be behind bars. He's a horrible, horrible person. I don't care what anyone else says. That's just the facts. Tyson Kidd, baby. Let's get back to wrestling. And I don't know if I should jump into the meat and potatoes and talk about the quote, end quote, podcast that we had on the network, which was fun. It was cool. But I think I'm just going to run down the list of my notes, and this is going to be the show because this is Rex Solo right now. And so it's not going to be as long as of a show as normal. And as you can tell by the way I'm talking, I've already had quite a hectic day. I need to stop moving. At least I'm sitting down right now. Whatever, enough about me. We've got the updated WWE Fastlane card. The following matches have been announced for the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. It'll take place from the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee on February 22nd, 2015. We will have Roman Reigns taking on Daniel Bryan, with the winner facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31 for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I almost pulled a Scott Steiner there. Woo! WWE United States Championship match. John Cena takes on the champion, Rusev. That should be very interesting. Also, this isn't even added to the card or on the card, but Ambrose saying that he wants to take on Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship. Could you imagine what would happen if John Cena won the United States Championship? And if Dean Ambrose won the Intercontinental Championship? Would it hurt them? Would it kill them? I mean, you can't kill Super Cena. You already know that, but this is probably going to be some kind of a fuck finish with Rusev, of a DQ finish or something, with John Cena getting the actual win at WrestleMania 31, which is how it looks to me. Pretty sure it looks similar to most of you. For the WWE Divas Championship, we have Paige versus Nikki Bella, who is the current champion. I hope Paige wins this match. And also, we have Triple H announcing that he will call out Sting to have a face-to-face with a man they call the Vigilante. Vigilante? I like Vigilante. Not Vigilante. Vigilante. Lucha Underground, baby. I'm not talking about Lucha Underground this week, even though the show was pretty damn good. It was cool. I like Lucha Underground. You know what I don't like? I don't like how it confronts with doing this show. That kind of sucks, but doing the Rexplex is very, very important to me. And I still get to see Lucha Underground. I do not have the El Rey Network, and I do not have Destination America, which might sort of explain a bit why I was so angry sounding when I was doing my rundown of what had happened on Impact. Okay, in other news, during Raw, there was a lot of teasing that Randy Orton would possibly show up. This caused speculation amongst those in attendance. I even had someone send me a text saying, Orton's going to show up, Orton's going to show up, keep your eyes out. Because several fans were freaking out when they saw a masked man was seated in the third row at ringside throughout the duration of Raw. Many fans claimed that it was the Boogeyman. The crowd was chanting, Boogeyman, Boogeyman. Apparently he got up out of his seat, then came back with his face entirely covered. There are pictures of this circulating on the internet. I'm sure you can easily find these if you would like to. So, yep, Boogeyman was there. It was the Boogeyman. It wasn't the Viper. It was something worse. It was the monster under your bed. So, yeah, we had Boogeyman in the crowd. Wish he would... I'm wishing anything for the Boogeyman. What am I talking about? The NXT Live Special gets a name. The WWE NXT Live Special taking place on Wednesday, February 11th, will be called NXT TakeOver Arrival. Not Arrival, Rival. It's, that's how I feel about the name. The card so far for this event is for the NXT title. We have champion Sami Zayn taking on Kevin Owens, which is going to blow the roof off the place. Like I say every week, if you have not seen an El Generico versus Kevin Steen match, try to find one. Please, just this rivalry goes so far back. At least 12 years. This rivalry goes damn near 12 years back. For the NXT Women's Championship in a four-way, champion Charlotte will be going against Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Bayley. And also the finals for the number one contender tournament, which I spoiled a few weeks back, and I'm not going to spoil it again. If you want to know who it's going to be, look it up, or just watch NXT. And some quick UFC news. Both Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz have failed drug tests related to their fight at UFC 183. Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz have failed drug tests related to UFC 183, according to UFC officials in a report on Tuesday. Silva failed a pre-fight exam conducted on January 9th, testing positive for drostanolone and androstenedione metabolites. Both of these are anabolic steroids, which can spell big trouble for Silva, who many thought was on the verge of retirement. So this story is crazy, man. UFC officials dropped the bombshell in an official statement on Tuesday. MMA Weekly confirmed the results with the Nevada Athletic Commission. Diaz failed a post-fight exam for marijuana, as initially reported. Columnist Kevin Lowell reported that and later confirmed by the Nevada Athletic Commission. On February 3rd, 2015, the UFC organization was notified by the Nevada State Athletic Commission that Anderson Silva tested positive for drostanolone metabolites on his January 9th out-of-competition drug test. These out-of-competition drug tests are getting crazy with so many people running out of drug tests, avoiding them, getting fired over these, over ducking drug tests, getting fired. The statement continues on to say UFC's understanding is that further testing will be conducted by the commission to confirm these preliminary results. Quote, Anderson Silva has been an amazing champion and a true ambassador of the sport of mixed martial arts in the UFC, in Brazil as well as around the world. UFC is disappointed to learn these initial results. The organization added that they have a strict policy against the use of any illegal performance-enhancing drugs. Officials had yet to comment on Diaz's post-fight test. According to the statement, the amount Diaz tested positive for was over the allowable limit of THC. The test result report confirms that only nothing that he tested positive for was just elevated levels of marijuana metabolites, but not revealing the measured level of how much THC was actually in the system. This could have been written better. Okay, my take on this. Okay, smoking marijuana is one thing, and it is well known that the Diaz brothers are both potheads. Smoke in a joint, blaze in a bowl, burn in a bunt, hitting the bong, whatever, it won't help you in a fight. If anything, it will hinder you and slow you down. It can slow down your brain functioning. It can increase creativity, but it's going to slow you down in the freaking octagon, dude. And this is how it is. Pardon me, but for Silva, on the other hand, Taking multiple types of performance-enhancing drugs pre-fight will tarnish his long-lasting reputation, man. As pound for pound, one of the best fighters, that's his reputation, pound for pound. But you hear that tossed around so much. Any UFC fan knows that, tossed around constantly, that Anderson Silva is pound for pound the best fighter of this generation. Also, he's been called the modern-day Bruce Lee. He's been known as arrogant in the octagon, but always humble on the outside. After winning the fight against Diaz, Silva got on the mic and talked about how his kids kept telling him to stop and he needs to go home. They said, "Daddy, please stop. Daddy, please stop." This was kind of an emotional but very confusing post-fight speech after an odd fight in itself. They went to a judge's decision of Silva winning after five rounds. People thought Silva wouldn't even return after he damn near broke his leg in half. So if he's done, this would be a horrible end to his career, a storied career. And if this fight was truly his final one, there are no positives to be found in this. I mean, for both Silva and Diaz. Yet Diaz, his failure is on a much lower level, except I don't think I can give Diaz a pass because this is his third time failing for weed in the UFC. I guess they don't have a three strikes rule. Over the course of what feels like only a month, like three of my favorite, or not my favorite really, but UFC guys that I like to watch have failed drug tests. This is a shitty, shitty situation all around. It sucks. It sucks. That's all I could say. You have three top fighters. You have a guy near retirement who has a storied career, and he's going to go out known as a cheater. That's a horrible end for everyone involved. Who went in there? Yes, just like that, in the middle of my talking, I was called by none other than Rage. Rage, what's good?
Oh, nothing. Just trying to survive WWE land, I guess.
Yeah, man, that's... I was just talking... Can I finish up what my thought was?
Sure, go ahead.
I was just talking about how they had the Anderson Silva, Nate Diaz fight. Diaz. It was Nick Diaz and Anderson Silva. And they both failed drug tests.
See, look, I'm not gonna... I don't really care much about Nate Diaz. It's like, you know, because it's weed.
Yes, that's what I said. That was my point.
But, you know, Anderson Silva testing positive for steroids is, like, that is a huge black eye.
Yeah,
that was... sport of MMA.
Yeah, after I read the article, I just, like, gave my breakdown of, like, how that, I felt that, like, how he was called the modern Bruce Lee, like, pound for pound best. And now getting caught with two different types of anabolic steroids.
So it's like, I mean, I don't know how long he's been doing it, but it's like, you know, MMA has just lost. Well, for now, MMA has just lost all its heroes. Like, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of Anderson Silva. I respected what he did.
The thing is, they had people. They had, like, people, they had Rampage, or they would have Silva fights, or you'd have Lesnar, or you'd have, like, GSP. There was always someone who had a fight that somebody you'd look forward to, even if you didn't really like him. And they're, like, UFC's losing all of that.
I really don't get it. I mean, you have, you know, him taking steroids, and John Jones is on some form of, like...
Yeah, like, John Jones has been one of my favorite fighters for a long time, and he's on coke.
it's just not looking good for UFC.
Well, basically, like, best of luck to both of these dudes, but I can't really have sympathy on them. Even though, I mean, what Silva did is way worse than Diaz. You can't smoke weed and be a UFC fighter at the same time, like, and have the UFC, like, think that that's an enhancement. So, and everyone knows they smoke weed.
You know, I'll be honest, I mean, right now my two favorite fighters are Conor McGregor and...
Conor McGregor's a shit.
Conor is, like... You might not be this player. Like, they call him, like, the Irish, you know, Muhammad Ali. He has a lot of punk, like, CM Punk.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Like, he has so much CM Punk in him. Like, he is just brash, he's cocky. Dude just doesn't give a shit. He will say, like, he says what he wants. He gets in the ring and he backs it up, and, like, he's just, like, he's fucking awesome. And Ronda Rousey, like, I've always been a fan of Ronda Rousey since I first saw her in Strikeforce. And, you know, she's always been my favorite fighter.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey's a beast. That was a lot of whatever the fuck that was. My main hope, though, you brought up Punk. How you compared Conor McGregor to Punk? Month like. Who was that? Did you have Tony C over?
No, my bad. I'm watching the Bernie Mac show.
Oh, no. I just compared Tony C to Bernie Mac. Well, that's a good comparison. You know, me and Bernie Mac have the same birthday. I'm proud of that. I hope CM Punk doesn't start using drugs now after he's getting thrown in the barrel with all these bad apples in the UFC.
He'll be fine.
All these crackheads and potheads and I just thought that was a good joke.
I mean, he'll be fine though.
He's gonna be like the only attraction they have by the time he gets in.
And when he gets, people think he won't like be able to survive in the UFC. I think he'll do fine. I mean, he's training now, so you probably won't see him fight until summer, maybe even like fall. So
yeah, it could be a while.
Yeah. So I mean, I think he'll be fine.
I have a question for you. Is Kayfabe dead? Is Kayfabe dead?
I think so.
Wait, before we get into that, Reigns lost the Big Show on Monday Night Raw. It was his first time ever getting pinned in a single match.
You know what's funny?
And the only time he ever got pinned was when Reigns lost to Leo Kruger, who is now Adam Rose in FCW.
I mean, here's the thing. Right now, WWE is on full cover your ass mode, right?
Yeah, they gotta be.
Yeah, so with Reigns, okay. Benny, let me just start off from the top.
Alright, good.
This whole big announcement turned out to be, okay, you got Daniel Bryan going against, who did he go against on Monday?
He went against Rollins.
He went against Rollins, that's right. Yeah. So you got him going up against Rollins. So that's basically a qualifier match to face, that's like a qualifier match to basically face your Royal Rumble winner, which is Roman Reigns at Fastlane, and then that person is going to face Lesnar. So
if Bryan wants to win, he basically has to go through a little mini tournament.
Yeah. What's the point of even having the Rumble? What was the point of it?
You could say that about last year.
Yeah.
We said this two weeks ago. There's gonna be some sort of a repeat, even if it doesn't go exactly the same way. We called the reaction from a mile away, but it's not like we're the only ones, but, you know.
I mean, if they're going to do this, there was just no point in, you know, even having him win the Rumble. But, you know, and then you throw Daniel Bryan into this situation. And to me, This is gonna be like them. Like, they're gonna fuck with the audience hard this time. So, we got Daniel Bryan going up against Roman Reigns. Chances are.
I mean, now it sounds like you're crackling.
Pardon?
It sounds like you're crackling.
Oh, you're in trouble. Got me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like.
It sounds like you're opening a candy wrapper.
Nah, I'm actually cooking chicken right now, but.
Wow, that's the last thing I ate was chicken.
But. So you got Daniel Bryan going against Roman Reigns, and. Like, to me, I still think it's going to be. It's going to be Reigns and Lesnar at Mania.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, there was a. I read a report from Daniel Bryan saying he would like to face Lesnar. I don't know why, but
he said He said that before the Rumble.
Yeah, but I'm inclined to believe that from what I saw at the Rumble, him being eliminated so early.
Yeah, they made him look so weak.
And they made him look really weak. I don't think Daniel Bryan is going to get another push again in the WWE. I really don't think he will. And to have Roman Reigns...
That's a bold prediction.
I really think so. He's not going to get another push. And like, Vince McMahon's interview and Triple H's interview with Stone Cold, they both proved... They basically solidified that for me. But... You know, Roman Reigns losing to, like, a really, like, played-out Big Show, you just made him look even more weak than he did on Sunday.
I think that was the worst part of the Rumble. It wasn't necessarily that Reigns won. I think it was that they had, that was the finish was one of the worst I've ever seen. It's not, like, the worst Rumble finish I've ever seen.
The finish was terrible.
Like, I do shit to get myself all hyped for the Rumble. Like, I watch, like, almost all of every one, like, almost in order. So I've done that shit before. Like, and then I watch it, and I'm just like, last year I got so mad, I called WWE. I didn't get through. I don't know why I was so mad. But that's why, really, like, I'm like, I'm not mad. I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Did you really call them?
Yes, I actually called them.
Did they respond at all?
No, because I know people who have gotten through before.
That sucks.
But no. the most markiest thing I've done maybe ever. Getting so mad at a predetermined victory that I called pissed off.
Yeah. And then, like,
or maybe I was just lonely and wanted somebody to talk to.
I watched the Triple H interview, you know, the day after it aired, and to me, like, Triple H was just, you know, lying his ass off throughout that entire show and just trying to cover up so much, and, like, I've been given shit for this opinion, but it's like...
Yeah, I really want to know after that post you put how you feel about it and your takeaway. I have all kinds of different notes on it and how I feel about certain shit.
Yeah, so this is how I feel about it, and I hope Tank, I hope Randy, and I hope Tone is listening so they can understand where I'm coming from. So, I can only tolerate the brass ring cliche only but so much now. And Triple H, you know, he's been saying that, you know, they basically have to get over this hump of, like, you know, I guess the hump is getting over with the fans or whatever.
Yeah.
And you think about people like a Daniel Bryan, like a Cesaro, like a Dolph Ziggler, and they're pretty much over, right?
Yeah, like, they're all over.
Yeah, they have everything that they need. They have the fan support. They have the mic skill. They have the ring skill. The in-ring skill. So, what are they missing? Like, they pretty much, they grabbed the brass ring, and it's like Triple H took it from them and gave it to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I agree.
So, it's like, I just can't stand this whole brass ring talk. Because it's like, if you already have people who've already got it, and you're taking it from them, then why is it's like you're dangling it, like, over their heads, and I don't get it.
But you know what's also a whole other part of this is weird. They say, well, those type of things are up to Vince, and Vince is all about creating new superstars and creating the new
bullshit.
It guy, the new big dude, and that's what they see when they see Roman Reigns. I found it interesting. Like Hunter said that like every decision like that was up to Vince, but they're holding down fresher people who actually got themselves over, but when anytime they mention anything about great feedback from NXT, Triple H is all like, yep, that's my shit, that's me doing that. Like, how hypocritical was that, all of that, like, if you think of all that together.
And, another problem that I have with it, I mean, look, we all have a problem, we all have our opinion with CM Punk. We all have an opinion on it. But now that I've heard Triple H's side of the story, it's like he said that he and Punk really didn't have any beef that day. See, I don't know who's really telling the truth, but for Triple H to say that him and Punk didn't have any tension between them, it's bullshit.
That's, guess what? I wrote down my takeaway from that part. Austin said, I wrote it down, what is it with you guys? And Triple H said, I remember hearing things about him when he was first coming in. I remember people saying, oh, you hate that CM Punk kid. You're burying him, honest to God, and this isn't a knock on him. I didn't even know who he was. My takeaway from that is that's bullshit. If you know anything about how Hunter operates behind the scenes, there was and probably still a heat between them. If that wasn't the case, the Triple H would have put Punk over when he was high element. Punk was at the highest point in his rise, you know?
Yeah, when he was hot, then he should have been put over. But it's like, you know, the guy won Money in the Bank twice. He's a world champion, a former WWE champion. Going back to the wrestling cliche, he's grabbed so many of them. And he still doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And this is not me. I'm not saying this as a fan of CM Punk. I'm not saying. I am a fan. But
yeah, I know that. But this is just in general, as far as the whole grabbing the brass ring thing.
I'm also a fan of people who have the skills necessary to be pushed, and it's the people that I've mentioned. And those people are also not getting the respect that they deserve. Just like plenty of other people who are in the mid-card, who are mid-carders, don't get the respect they deserve. But they're giving, they're throwing all their chips, they're giving everything, they're giving the ring to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Roman Reigns didn't create something of himself, he didn't make himself into something special, or he didn't do something organically that made the fans gravitate towards him. So when Triple H was taking all those long pauses because he didn't know what to say, he should have probably paused for a second and thought about the dude who was sitting across from him interviewing him.
I mean, he's not like a Roman Reigns.
You feel that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Austin did. Roman Reigns has done none of that.
He's terrible at doing promos. He's not the best. The best wrestler. After Sunday, he's really not over with the fans as much as people think he is. I mean, he may have gotten a little bit of a pop when he returned, but, you know, it's not like, it's not much.
I think they made a huge mistake by having, like, when he first came back, he was the first person to announce himself into the Rumble.
Yeah.
And that's the exact same thing Batista did last year.
To this day, I mean, it was a big, I mean, we've said it over and over, and it's a big mistake that he was named Superstar of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
For someone who who was out, what, 4 to 6 months? 4 to 6 months?
Yeah.
And, he didn't really do anything. The guy was injured. The guy was injured, couldn't wrestle, and he was named Superstar of the Year.
That's why I wonder about how legit all that whole voting thing was.
Oh yeah, they didn't vote for him.
Damn.
I know. I sure didn't.
You can. Oh, and Austin asked him about Raw. He said, what would you change about Raw? And he kind of froze up for a little bit and, like, waited. And he's like, I'd love it to be 2 hours. Third hour of television, so exponentially harder. And Austin's like, that's all you change? like Austin kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. Raw doesn't need to be 3 hours now. It doesn't need to be. Because it's obvious they're not using their time wisely when they're going to 3 hours. I mean, wasn't that first segment like a half hour?
Yeah.
They're not using their time wisely.
No.
And I feel like I have to point this out. I don't want to say I've stopped watching it, but I haven't been watching.
I didn't watch most of Raw at all.
No, I mean, I said Raw. I mean TNA, my bad.
Oh, I actually watched TNA this week, and that's why I was so pissed off at the beginning of the show.
Like?
Did you see it this week?
No, I didn't. I didn't even bother seeing it.
Yeah, I texted you to check with you if you did, but every week, there it's this formula. It looks like they're broadcasting from Josh Matthews' mom's basement. It looks like they're either recording in the hallway of the Manhattan Center for every backstage thing, or outside the Manhattan Center by a fence.
Yep.
It looks like you can only see the first two rows of fans. Every week, they have someone turn.
So
every week, they have a titles match. Every week, they have a gimmick match.
I don't know how long it'll be before you actually see this. But this is a spoiler alert. So they have two new champions in TNA. Rockstar Spud is your new X Division champion. For what reason? I don't know. Because it doesn't advance any storyline. Like the storyline that's supposed to be between him and EC3 and Brutus Clay, I don't care what his name in TNA is, but it's not advancing the storyline between them. So it's like they just threw the belt on.
No, they shouldn't do that at all. They should do some comedy with Spud and the man guy.
The main guy.
Mandrew. Yeah. No, Mandrew. Spud's new friend. You never seen that?
No.
Oh, you'll see. The dude who won British Boot Camp too, and that's Spud's new, like, they're going against Abyss. Wait, no, not Abyss. They're going against Brodus Clay in a handicap cage match.
It makes no sense.
Friday.
They have the lockdown event this Friday. So I guess I'll watch. But you know, lockdown used to be one of my favorite pay per views of the year.
I used to like Lockdown like back in the day because they could actually pull off having all cage matches and still like make it an interesting, good show that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I agree. Lockdown is just not what it was. And like, what really stopped me from like really liking Lockdown was, you know, the one that they had in the
Alamo Dome. Yep.
I mean, you know, I mean, they only used 1/8 of the entire stadium, which is like a 68,000 seat stadium, but they only lockdown match because they couldn't use the booth.
Yeah.
And now it's not even a pay-per-view anymore, so now you're down to two pay-per-views.
And Taz makes it look even shittier when he's like, this used to be a free pay-per-view. I mean, this used to be a pay-per-view, now it's free.
This is exactly the point. It used to be a pay-per-view.
I got us a little shittier now?
I will not be surprised if, I will not be surprised if Slammiversary or Bound for Glory become, like, live events.
Damn, then you really know they're going down the fucking toilet if that's happening.
I would not be surprised if those two, which are really their signature pay-per-views, just become, like, specials on Destination America. Because they really can't, like, I don't know if it's, like, the politically correct term, but I don't think they can, like, afford to do pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, like, correct.
Something's crackling again.
Like I said, I don't think they can really afford to do pay-per-view, but it's just sad. Really is sad.
Pretty much, they had Bram attack Magnus in, like, the most weird, most unusual, not hippie, I don't know how to, it looked like a little wooden cabin with, like, a bar, and they talked there for a while, and Magnus showed Bram a picture of his kid, and then Magnus was walking out. It was like he was walking out the door, and Bram says, no, don't go out that way. And you can see, as soon as he started walking in that door, that said men's room. So they were trying to use, like, the men's bathroom and that little, wherever they were at, to act like that was the exit. And it was clearly caught on camera. But they were trying to work that.
What kind of wrestler name is Bram anyway?
And Bram ends up telling him to go some crazy way, and then it attacks him. And Bram's rubbing a cue ball the whole time.
Question, what kind of name for a wrestler is Bram?
I don't know. As soon as I hear Bram, I think of the brake pads.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a horrible name.
It really is. But see, now things are. It seems like things are just going back to the way they were in TNA. So it's like I shouldn't even bother watching. Three episodes in, and I stopped watching.
Yeah, this episode really sucked. It really sucked. I'm normally so optimistic. Like, I'm always trying to, like, think positively and be optimistic and be like, shit'll get better. It'll get better.
I mean, yeah.
But I'm like, no, this, it sucked, dude. It was.
I mean, they had two good weeks. And then that third week, I gave them really a pass. But, you know, after reading the spoilers, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't watch it anymore.
I only have one piece of news left. New Japan World free in February. To match WWE Network's ongoing free month for new subscribers, the New Japan World streaming service is also offering a free month to people who sign up around the world. This includes the new beginning events in Osaka and Sendai that would feature a number of big championship matches. To sign up, visit njpwworld.com. If you use Google Chrome, the website will automatically be translated. However, if you scroll down to the very bottom of the page and find the Google Translate drop box, it'll do a much better job making the jump to English.
Yeah, I gotta start watching more.
It all sounds good. It's all good and everything. And, like, there's a lot of dudes in New Japan who I really like, but they need more English commentary.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
I wish they could do like WWE. Like, they have a Spanish announced team for almost every show.
I don't know if Matt Stryker and Jim Ross doing it that one time, or I don't know if that was like the one they played.
But they've been doing weekly shows that are pretty good. I mean, they only had one match on this one show, but it was a match of the year. Mm-hmm. It was an older Okada Tanahashi match. But they had Josh Barnett and Mauro Ranallo doing commentary, and that was really good.
Oh,
and
the Ranallo?
Yeah.
The boxing commentator?
Yeah. And it was really cool because it felt more, because you had him, and Josh Barnett was MMA, so they didn't commentate like sports entertainment, that commentated like 100% sports.
Wow, I gotta look at this. It's awesome.
So yeah, I just like downloaded all the episodes and put them on my flash drive and just hooked it up to, like, put it in my PlayStation, just watch that shit, just like marathon. Just having Mauro on commentary adds a whole lot to it.
I really got to get caught up with NXT. I'm missing a little too much. I've been missing a lot of episodes. I got to get back to watching that.
Yeah, I haven't been watching NXT that much either.
And I'm really looking forward to the special.
Oh yeah, man, the special's going to be awesome. I spoiled some of it like a month ago.
I really gotta get back to watching the weekly shows.
And they're teasing the debut of Solomon Crowe.
Oh my gosh.
Who used to be Sami Callihan.
See, how is it that Triple H is pushing the right guys in NXT but the wrong guys on the main roster?
I don't know. Sami Callihan was a beast for the Indies, and they were really trying to figure out how to use him, and that's why he still hasn't made his debut yet. But the hacker gimmick that they're talking about, I'm still a little unsure about.
Hacker gimmick.
That's what how they describe the gimmick.
They're trying to make him out to be a computer nerd. Oh my god.
I mean, he should be just.
That was basically dressed up like your typical black high school kid.
Oh man, I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that he needs a gimmick change because I don't like the way it looks. Because it looks a little too I shouldn't say that. It's not really stereotypical, it's really accurate, but I just don't like the way it looks. I really don't. Like, they got him coming out with, like, multicolored backpack, a snapback, some sort of, like, multicolored shirt with some beads that aren't connected to really anything. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a rapper I can make a comparison to, that style. And I'm also trying to think of his name.
I can't think of it either. I wish D'Angelo De Niro could come back.
Where he's all indies.
I would love to see him in ROH.
Oh, Alberto Del Rio got his head busted open in a match with Roderick Strong in ROH a couple days ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
God. Oh my god, I gotta see that. Alberto El Patron busted wide open. Is he coming out with, like, does he have a Spanish ring announcer in there too, or is that?
I haven't seen any of it yet. I just know everybody he was going against. I missed his match with Christopher Daniels, but I'm gonna go back and watch that.
Yeah, I need to go to another ROH show. I need to go to another one. And when I went to at Coney Island, Phil was absolutely amazing. And I would do it again.
Yeah, you told me about how you went to Field of Honor.
Yeah.
I really like that show. I didn't go to it, but clearly done. Not took a ride. Like, I was like, no, I'll make it up.
I mean, I like the whole setup of it. I mean, it's on Coney Island that's overlooking. There was, like, the pier. I mean, you had, like, fireworks later on in the night. You can interact with other people there. I mean, you had some, like, you know, idiot wrestling fans there. For the most part, you can interact with pretty much everyone there. It's like everyone knows everyone.
Yeah. You know? I like that about ROH shows.
And it's like the meet and greet experiences are more, feel more genuine.
Yeah, definitely.
They really do feel more genuine. Like, again, I mean, I can tell this story for days. Like,
I don't know if we're going to start repeating stories.
Yeah, I shouldn't tell it.
Because I was going to tell my Nigel McGuinness conversation story, but I'm like, did I tell that? And then I was like, what, you told, did you tell me, was it Maria Kanellis?
Yeah.
Okay, Jerry, okay, I think.
Jerry Lynn freaking took the picture. And Jerry doesn't look that old at all. He still looks good, dude. He still looks good. But,
yeah, I'll probably be able to see ROH during WrestleMania next year. That's like the closest it'll come here. Yeah.
I'm trying to find another show to go to here. If they're ever going to come back over this way.
Yeah, they should. They should sooner than they would ever come here.
Is it true that I'm hearing that John Cena is going to, you know, is going to face Rusev for the United States title at Fastlane?
Yeah, I already talked about that. That's it's for the...
Is he really?
Oh, and there's people are talking about also I keep messing this up. Dean Ambrose against Wade Barrett for the title.
I don't know, it's going to feel a little
bit... Intercontinental title. Imagine Ambrose having the Intercontinental title and John Cena having the U.S. title.
John Cena with the U.S. title, to me, it just seems a little... Doesn't seem like out of place now, considering like you haven't seen him with any other mid-card titles since he had the U.S. title back then. Like, you haven't seen him with any other mid-card title. He's either been tag team champion or world champion or WWE champion. But it sucks that another victim of the cancer. He's that Rusev is going to be another victim of the cancer.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's going to suffer the Bray Wyatt fate. I'm sorry, I was busy looking up black NXT guy with backpack. I can't find him.
I think it's Angelo or D'Angelo something.
No, I thought it was D'Angelo something too, but... Angelo Dawkins?
I think that's it.
Yes, that's him. He's got yellow frame glasses with headphones, big colorful headphones around his neck.
I used to not like. I mean, I thought he was good in the ring. I just really didn't like McGinn. I really didn't. Like, he deserved a lot better than that.
And no, I didn't like the trendy black college kid gimmick at all.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on that. Oh, wait a minute. Is it this Friday or next Friday that Havoc is supposed to take on Awesome Kong?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching that. I gotta watch that.
It's the Hardys taking on Abyss and Storm.
The Revolution, whatever.
Yeah, also, what you call it? The BD.
The Beatdown Clan.
I keep almost calling them BDK, like the bind, torturing, kill, murderer. I can't help it. I've almost done it like 10 times already.
So it's what, him and Team Angle and Lethal Lockdown?
Yeah. And also Rockstar Spud and Mandrews against Tyrus.
EC3 is such a joke to me now. Like, he's really a joke. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt when he first came in, but now it's just like, it's unbearable to look at.
I thought there was a lot of potential with EC3 at first.
Yeah.
Even up to a certain point, but I think the story sucks. Like, I don't really like the
being Dixie Carter's nephew.
I didn't like that from the beginning.
Yeah, I really.
I thought that no matter how good he did the character, that would still have to catch up with you because you're attaching yourself to Dixie. So I feel like no matter how long you can you can make the character last for a long time and have it work, but you still have that stigma attached to you, and it's eventually going to catch up with you.
So, question.
All right.
Do you think that at some point within, let's say a 5-year period, do you think Dixie Carter will still be the president of TNA, or will there be like a different president who just takes over? Do you think there will be someone who just takes over in like a 5-year period?
I kind of think TNA might not even exist.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
try to be optimistic, and I'll say that a lot, but I don't think they're going to exist in 5 years.
I guess you're right. I don't know what to say about them anymore. I really don't. It's like now those TNA DVDs that I have are more valuable to me now.
I understand what you mean.
They are a lot more valuable to me.
Like, thank you, Don West. Don West and his deals. Now I have collectibles.
To this day, you know, I still have the TNA program that I got at the Asbury Park show that I went to a few years ago.
Yeah, you get the autograph bag and the DVDs and everything. That was a hell of a deal.
I got my Earl Hebner shirt.
Oh, I have an awesome...
He personally autographed.
That is so dope. I had a... That's when Bischoff's son, Gary Bischoff, was a referee, and me and my crowd wouldn't stop chanting, Jackson James, because that was his ref name. I got a broken piece of a table that D-Von put Bubba Ray through, autographed by D-Von.
Wow.
That's I know a lot of people's like, oh yeah, but that's still fucking cool to have.
It really is.
I have a table that...
Pretty sure you could never give it up.
No, hell no. He even made it up personally to me. I have a piece of a table autographed by D-Von that he put Bubba through.
Yeah, man. See, those were the days. Those were the days.
Like, Mick Foley was just hanging around. Like at the house show, that I went to, or the couple house shows that came here.
I mean, TNA, Hogan and TNA, there might have been a bad period there, but to me it was still watchable. Like, I could still watch it. But, you know, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. And it really is sad to see, because, like, you know, again, I can't compare, you know, my sense of, like, sadness for TNA to, like, AA sadness for WCW or Tony C sadness for WCW. I can compare the two.
No, it's very much different.
But it's, like, for me, you know, to go from, like, every Thursday night being, like, something special to watch, and to me, that's what it was. Like, every Thursday on Spike, you know, 11 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock, hell, even the Monday night shows, like, Impact was something special to watch because there was always something really epic, was happening. It was every Thursday. Every Sunday, they had to, like, their pay-per-views were always good. Always.
The thing is, it seemed like the talent went from pushing to try to push for the company to be better so they would put on better matches and be more compelling. And, like, that's why I love TNA so much. And then when it got to the point where it seemed like some people just stopped giving a fuck, I mean, backstage, not the talent, and that rubbed off on the talent, and they were kind of like, what's going on? Like, as time passed after the Hogan thing, like, because that's when it just started going completely downhill. There was something that had to happen, and it might have been Dixie wanting to be on screen, but I don't think that's big enough of a deal, but morale just seemed to just flop.
It's like when Hogan, like when Hogan first got in, it's like you started to see all of the WWE, like, you know, any WWE guy got a push. They got a title reign and whatever. And Hogan brings in all of his folks. He brings back Scott Hall.
I think the most despicable part, some people would say RVD beating Sting, but I thought that was kind of a fun surprise, even though a lot of people, oh, man, I wasn't going to say that. Well, some people on the network will hate me for saying that.
To me, one of the biggest jokes because about that time was the Nasty Boys.
That's what I was going to say. That they actually brought the Nasty Boys in to have a match with Team 3D, and the Nasty Boys won.
Like, that's disrespectful there. I mean, I don't care what kind
of history. I was sickened by that.
I don't care what kind of history they have. I just, like, you don't do that to me, what I still consider to be one of the best tag teams in wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Unquestionably.
It was wrong. I mean, the focus. Focus just totally went somewhere else.
All right, we're about to wrap this episode of the Rexplex up. Do you have any last closing points you would like to make, or arguments, shout outs, or plugs?
Triple H can go to hell. That's all I gotta say. Triple H can go straight to hell.
Well, this has been the Rexplex episode number 12. I am Rex Watson. Stay positive. Tell people to go to hell. But do not forget, you can listen to The Rant, the flagship show of the station, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. On Thursdays, this program here, The Rexplex, at 7 p.m. And Rant and Wrestling immediately following this at 9. The Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. on Saturdays with William Morgan. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading? Comic Book Show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb, as well as pre- and post-shows for every pay-per-view. I want to thank Rage for being on the show.
Of course, no problem, anytime.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night.
Nope. me that you